When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Comp.
Hello.
Hello, Lucy.
Hi.
Welcome to the Comp Podcast, the premier podcast for comedy related to the news, related and topics. And make sure, now that you're here, make sure you like and subscribe. All right. We tried this last week and it worked. So you can be part of something that works. Just you gotta come. You're here. Like it, because it's good. Trust me, it's good, all right? don't pull this nonsense of like, well, let me see if it's good or not. Just, what's it? It's nothing to you, all right? You're here anyway, all right? So just like it and subscribe. Hit that's not it. There's a notification bell thing. And I'm going to make a graphic, all right? Because people don't know. You hit, because people have been saying to me, you've been doing this for months, and I thought you were gone. I thought you had passed away, that you had gone to Tibet, and now I have all these episodes, and YouTube didn't tell me because the bell, there's a bell in there, right? It's like the enlightenment, right? Do that, hit that button, and here's the deal: I haven't seen my daughter in a long time. I have a daughter from a previous marriage, and my ex-wife's lawyers are very good, and I never get to see her. But my lawyer, who's not particularly great, but he thinks that if I can show a certain increase in subscribers on our channel, that we can show that to the judge, and I go, what is that going to show him? Why is he going to care about my YouTube algorithm? It seems like you got something going on.
It shows you're a competent person and that you deserve more than just monitored visitation.
Right. Well, I don't even have that. I don't know. I mean, look, I think it's good because I don't want, I like my daughter. Mm. But in the grand scheme of things, I'd rather someone else if she starts choking, help her. So maybe the monitor can have first aid experience. I don't want to be the one responsible for saving my daughter's life. Mm. If she eats like a knife or something. Kids do stupid things, right?
Sure.
You remember when they're around a kid and they just eat like a razor?
Yeah.
And why didn't you baby proof my house? The house. Well, that won't be my problem if it's a monitor situation where we're in a lawyer's office. And then my lawyer left a razor blade there.
It's bad for a kid's confidence if the person who stops them from choking on a razor blade is their dad.
Yeah.
That's really the mother's role.
We have people for that.
Yeah.
The monitors. That's why. I mean, otherwise, why are you there? Because it's a weird, mommy, why is that woman or man have to be there when I'm with daddy? Well, they're just making it, they're going to make sure you're okay. Why wouldn't I be okay? He's dead. It puts, the unknown is scary to a child. But if, she starts biting a razor blade one day and that person, saves her, oh, that's why.
Hmm.
But it's not my fault. I'm at the lawyer's office. You understand? So subscribe and like and the notification bell. I think things are really, you're gonna love my daughter, Lucy. You're gonna really.
Are you okay? As soon as we get rights to her, do you mind?
We're not gonna get rights to her. I don't know what you think we're gonna do. We're gonna sell the film rights to Anna Amy.
Well, whatever they are, as soon as we get contact with her, do you mind?
You keep making it seem like the movie Man on Fire or something.
As soon as we touch ground, do you
mind? You were supposed to make this better. That's not why I married you, but I thought this would put a better spin on things.
Look, regardless.
You're making this sound like a heist.
Regardless, as soon as we're in the daughter's nest, would you mind if I start slowly turning her against her mother?
I mean, what are your tactics going to be?
Just little acts of favoritism mixed with, just things.
Acts of favoritism?
I'll mix them with just anecdotes I've heard. I don't think I can convince her that her mother did anything to me, but I could maybe convince her that she did something to a mutual friend.
So you're going to, just stroll in to this lawyer's office, right? While I'm with my daughter.
Yeah.
With an ice cream, for instance. I'm going, Hannah Amy got you an ice cream. Didn't get one for you, to the monitor and the lawyer, because you're nothing. Hannah Amy gets all the ice cream, and she's just like, thank you. And then you're like, so, did I ever tell you what your mother, how she made your daddy fat? And I think you're going to, this is... I don't know if you were trained for this kind of subterfuge.
Look, I'll just chip away at whatever, discipline structure the mother has created.
So you want you
and
want,
then I'll heavily imply she has a mental illness. That's
the kid, Anna Amy? Child?
No, the mother to Anna Amy.
So you want to break whatever my ex-wife is whatever system she's put in place to make sure that my daughter goes to school and does her homework and eats her vegetables. Yeah. You want to undo that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Then gaslight my child into thinking her own mother is mentally unfit.
Yeah,
that's gonna be very traumatic. It's one thing to turn her against the mom, but I mean.
Look, initially it will be.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately the closer relationship she'll end up having with you will more than make up for that trauma.
I don't know if I would want... I mean, so what if she ends up being like our kid?
I don't know if I can deal with that.
Yeah, who wants that? I don't want to be... I don't want to be a deadbeat dad, but I don't want to be her dad.
I'm not saying we signed a contract or anything, but that's I didn't get into this relationship thinking I'd have that level of responsibility.
What's the goal here then? Why are you trying to bring? I'm just trying to get into
just friendly competition.
Friendly competition.
it's good for women to have healthy competition with each other.
I'm gonna buy you a plant. I gotta teach you to nurture things. This is not how you win a child's love. I don't think so. I don't know if I've ever done that, but pretty sure it's not by... So,
winning your love is the second phase.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and subscribe. Patreon. We have a Patreon. The judge would be very impressed if you signed up for our Patreon. Mm-hmm. It's only $5 a month, and you get 4 extra episodes every week. That's real nice. That's a real treat for you, I think, and supports the show. Just a treat for us. Mm. It's win-win. If you're happy here, because there's more of the good stuff. That's what I try to tell my kids. What's the point of life, Dad? Get more of the good stuff. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's a great saying.
Yeah, it's simple.
Get more of the good stuff. It sounds like I'm trying to tell them go score some illicit.
You just say you call pussy good stuff. You just that's your word. Get more good
stuff. I meant score cop. Yeah. Cop some fun, some powder.
Oh.
Something interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure. You're just not. I don't know if we should involve you with that, Amy. This is a problem. Moving on. So, look, what all girls like? This is just transition.
Horses.
They do. I assume my child likes horses because why wouldn't she? I don't particularly. They're fine, but women are fascinated by horses.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, I think that's a combination of things. For one thing, they're objectively majestic. Beautiful creatures.
What does majestic mean to you?
Just, you know, like you imagine anything that you can imagine frolicking in a meadow is majestic, I think.
I think majestic means like the king, doesn't it? Like, you think do you think the horse should be a king?
I think it should be, but, you know, we don't live in that kind of world.
I think women secretly just want, like, to pledge loyalty to a horse king, which is, you know, I mean, they are strong, whatever.
Look, horses are great. And also, you know, you can ride them. Anything you can ride.
Can you ride them?
I've ridden a horse.
Sure. I'd love to have a horse to ride me. I mean, in the future, we'll be able to do that.
Well, some men have attempted that.
No, I don't mean. I mean in a very pure way.
Yeah.
All right, with some kind of strange cybernetic, like where they implant things into my body.
Mm.
Not that. Like, you know, like drill hydraulics into my body.
It's still evoking. No matter how much you rephrase it, evoking the same image.
No, drilling hydraulics, I think, has gotten away from the filth. Drilling hydraulic pumps into my body and gears and pulleys and levees, a system of weights and measures that will allow me to support the weight of a full horse.
I mean, honestly, like you might be able to pull it off with a baby horse, a horse right out of the womb.
Oh, a fawn.
Yeah.
Oh, I could. Yeah. Okay. I don't want that. Look. Everything's covered in placental fluid.
Why do we need all these words for baby things? We have the word baby. We can just put it in front of anything.
Because baby is a human. There's no such thing. I mean, it's cute to say baby horse, but it's a fawn.
Mm.
I don't know. Because they eat them. Like, why is there a word for veal? Because, like, you don't want to put baby cow on the menu. Fair. Right?
Fair.
Veal rollatini.
But you don't put calf on the menu either.
You eat some. Well.
you put...
Well, right. Okay.
You still need layers of euphemism beyond that.
Well, grab. I mean, I guess when you're on the farm or the ranch, you go grab the calf. It's just a nicer way than saying like grab the baby cow, right? Less words.
Mm.
The less words you say in the farm, the better.
Yeah.
Because farmers are typically very. What's the word for like people who are like, you know, they judge you for having a vocabulary. I don't know what that is, but you know they bully you if you're smart. So you want to just say as little as possible. Like you know, if you could grunt with pictures, it'd be better. So even it seems, I know you're thinking, well, but you have extra words here, but like yeah, but you're saying less. Fawn, you know it's better than you know fawn. Bring fawn, you know no conjunctions as opposed to saying bring me the baby cow. Please bring me the baby cow.
You really don't think much about farmers, do you?
I think the guy. Look, I think the farmer himself can be very intelligent.
Mm.
You're all intelligent. I mean, whatever. It's just what you choose to focus on, right? I think the people who work for the farmer are bitter because they're not working their own land.
Mm.
They're working some other guy's land, and they're very quick to like you know they're very anti-authoritarian and confuse that with me having vocabulary. As being like some kind of, you know, elitist cop. Farmers have always been very cruel to me.
Well, in what context have farmers been cruel?
I've been to farms on Long Island. I've been to farms upstate. And they're always very suspicious whenever I'm around. I've visited farms. They treat me like I'm some kind of egghead, even though I'm, you know, not that smart.
Mm.
I didn't go to MIT, but they just act like I'm some kind of, you know, a feat. They've hit me. They've thrown cow you know manure at me.
Mm.
I've had bad experience with farmers. But I have friends of friends, friends of families. They're very smug. I think farmers are great. But I'm saying it's not. I don't mean like they're bad people. They just hate me.
Mm. I that's it.
So
that's
I resent them.
Wow.
People resent people who don't like them.
But yeah, that's fair.
I'm not some city guy judging farmers.
I once sort of had a crush on a farmer.
Get out of here.
Cuz I worked on a farm in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Not really. I wasn't like, you know, really tilling the earth or anything, but you know, I did like little, there was a farm and a restaurant.
Oh, right.
People would do tours around the farm and
wasn't that like a chef's farm though, like a farm to table farm?
It was a chef's farm.
That's a different thing. That's like the major D's planting herbs. That's not I'm talking about guys who like, you know, plant Monsanto seeds for like, you know, rutabagas. That shit.
But there was an attractive guy who kind of like ran the greenhouse. Like he was the farmer, the head farmer of like their greenhouse.
Yeah, he probably had like a part in his hair though.
And, you know.
Do they have a mo haircut? From like Three Stooges?
He had kind of like a shaggy haircut.
That was, you fell in love with a fake farmer. But go on. I'm bursting your bubble before you even tell the story. But tell me about how grand he was.
Well, you know, he was always just kind of like in there, like, you know, fiddling about with the plants.
Fiddling?
And it was just like an attractive look. I don't know. Like a guy, you know.
All right. He didn't friggin' fiddle around with some stupid computer audio equipment. He just worked the land. Not like some guy who can't even talk to his own daughter. I get what you're getting at.
No, I like this more.
Well, you have a nice tan.
He was pretty tan. He had the farmer's tan.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you know there's no sun in the studio. I'm sorry. I got sunburned last week.
Well, look, I was a child then. Now I realize that real men, you know, work with cords.
Real men drill hydraulics into their backs.
And instruments of death.
Anyway. Point is, why are we talking about farms?
I don't know.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
The veal. The Kentucky Derby. This is a strange transition into the Kentucky Derby. It's the grandest of all races, I believe. Is that true?
It's
today.
Prestigious.
I mean, we're recording this. It's probably happening right now. We could be, but we're not that kind of show. We're not. You know, I got into horse gambling earlier in the fall. Last fall, This would have been great for me, but I burned out very quickly on it. There's something, you know. This is all. I mean, that's what the horses are for, right? You don't eat horses anymore.
No, try not to.
We just typically keep them to gamble, to do races. And honestly, when you watch it on one of these apps, there's just horse races all over the world. Like the Kentucky Derby is one of the big, what, three? The big three? Wait, what, the Triple Crown?
Yeah.
You know all about horses. You don't know Triple Crown?
Yeah, it's the Kentucky Derby and then two others.
It's Belmont, the Belmont Stakes. Then there's the Kentucky Derby, and then there's Churchill Downs, maybe? The Preakness?
I don't know about this because I protested.
It might be the Preakness.
I believe horses should be free.
And to do what? You realize what horses would do if we let them be free? They would trample all over us. they would destroy our lives.
You think horses would attack us if we liberated them?
Of course what they do. We spent the last 5,000 years just subjugating them, making them carry us around. As we conquer other people.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them carrying us around if we need to, you know, just get from point A to point B. But
in their downtime, they can just, you know, go hang out at Bubba Gum Shrimp?
Yeah.
In Times Square?
I think they should be able to frolic with each other in their downtime.
Do you realize how much horse dung littered the streets of New York before, like, the cars started taking over?
Oh, right.
It was, like, up to your waist in horse dung.
Yeah, but I blame
horse manure.
I blame Boss Tweed for that.
Boss Tweed.
I think he could have. I think he could have. You know, offered a service if he wasn't just like, you know, strong arming people. He could have offered like a horse manure cleaning up service.
You think they just left it around? I think they probably tried to get rid of it. you're gonna go back in time and like, hey, your only idea is like we should do something about this manure. It's like what? What's the idea? Like you get a shovel. A shovel? Like, what are you envisioning? That like what's your plan?
I don't know. You just get a lot of shovels, a lot of people to shovel the horse manure, or maybe people clean up after their own horses. I don't know.
Right.
You know, you could ship it up. You could have composting stations where it could be sent up to, you know, feed the earth. And be used to, like, you know, create farms and stuff.
Oh, to grow vegetables, you mean?
To grow.
I thought you were going to feed poor people produce. Horse manure. I mean, can you eat manure?
I mean, they want to, but I don't think most people
want to. It's probably good for you, right? Is animal manure bad for you?
I don't think it's great.
Can we Google that?
But
just write, is horse manure safe to eat?
I think we know the answer, but...
No threat to humans. By the way, dogs love to eat fresh manure. Well, just don't let them kiss you. Why not? It's not. It's totally safe, apparently.
Dog food.
This website. This site is called Safety of Horse Manure.
But then, how do we control the dogs?
It's fine. This guy's speaking on both sides of his mouth. Oh, like, you know, it's safe to eat, but don't let the dog kiss you. It's like, why? Because it's covered in delicious horse manure. What's the problem here? click on the link. Is this just some kind of weird, like, fetish site? Make this. Hi, oh, wait, this is not actually a website. This is just someone's post. This is just some poster on, like, an alternate Reddit. Called House. Hi, all. I have an opportunity to pick up some horse manure. Why? It's described as, quote, in terms of composted, my interpretation, blah, blah, blah. I took a look at it, and it doesn't smell, but it also is not broken down. You can still clearly see the shavings in the horse, quote, poop. All right, so is manure some kind of, like, thing where it's, like, you make a pudding out of it or something where it doesn't seem like... I always assume... I guess when you see manure, it's usually like a sludge. So I guess you kind of mix it all together. And he's saying it's just still kind of clumpy.
And my primary concern is that my kids and dog tend to wander into my flower beds, even though they shouldn't. Is this broken down enough to be safe? Why don't you control your children?
Right. I mean, look, I would say if your children are prone to eating manure they find, you know, or feces...
Yeah. If they think they're sneaking treats when they go into your flower bed and eat horse shit.
Maybe don't bring it in. Like, you don't seem like a guy who's like, I mean, if you were a farmer, you just, manure would be a part of your life, right? And the kids would have to have already been accustomed to it. So maybe the hobby of getting a, hey, I got a line on some real big huge pile of horse shit. And really like to make this happen. Now, my kids, I'm afraid they're just going to start chomping down because my kids love to eat shit. I have really disgusting children who just, they just, you know, they'll sometimes, they work in teams. Like my daughter will say, daddy, daddy, when I'm in the bathroom and I'll run out and I'll pull my pants up and it's, you know, no one wants to do that, but your kid's in trouble. So I pull up my pants, even though I'm not clean and I'm not wiped and I run and my kid, my boy will jump into the bathroom, start eating my shit. It's just horrible.
They're just human animals, my children.
Like velociraptors. So, I mean, but that being said, I really don't want to miss this opportunity to get a useless pile of horse shit. So please help me out here on house.com. What is this site? Who's like, look, Reddit's just too, it's just too much going on Reddit. I got to make my own thing. Come over to house.com. I don't know where these things come from. Nothing?
Yeah. This is a...
There is a... This guy... Oh, okay. I stand corrected. This is from 18 years ago. This is a real treat. We're looking back into the internet.
Yeah.
Now I get it. This is before Reddit, before all these things got consolidated. The internet used to be a fun place. Before all these sites, these like social media sites and like Amazon consolidated everything. And you had things like house.com where you would be someone would ask about, you know, whether their kids can eat horse shit or not. This guy, Byron, says 18 years ago, there is a pathogen that can be passed from horses to humans, but you must eat a freshly deposited hot horse butt. Is that a euphemism, or is he saying you got to eat the horse's ass? The pathogen does not live once the bun cools. Again, basic prevention, don't eat hot horse shit, Byron. Well, Byron doesn't, you know, he doesn't mince words, Byron. I like this guy, Byron. I hope he's still alive 18 years later. I want to find this guy.
Is there a whole community of people who eat cold horse shit? Like that we're not privy to?
I don't want to accuse them of that. I just feel like, they're men of the world. And they're saying, look, if you're going to do it, if you're going to eat that horse, just don't eat it hot. And then you don't have to worry about it. Look, do what you want to do. Just don't eat it hot. That's the only advice I'll give you.
This is very early internet to sign one's name after writing something like this.
Right. Byron. Kismer, also 18 years ago, this manure needs to be composited before going into your garden. If available, I would mix it 3 parts shredded leaves with 1 part of this manure and wet it, and it should cook quite well. So he doesn't mention anything about eating it. Byron was like, look, just don't eat the hot version.
Right.
This guy is more just giving you advice on how to make the manure, you know.
How to make it.
Like more uniform and manure-esque. So he seems like a less fun guy. Mm. He probably enjoyed the current version of the internet. Not Byron.
Byron is a man of a different time.
Yeah.
Byron is a true romantic.
So anyway, what were we getting at? With the horse manure.
Well, we were talking about the Kentucky Derby first.
That's why we're. So the Kentucky Derby is today. It's a day of why women like horses.
Right? Oh yeah, we were talking about that too.
Yeah. So basically, today is the Kentucky Derby, and as you're listening to or watching this, you already know the answer or the winner, or you don't care, and same for us. I'm not gonna look up who won. I spent about a week doing a lot of horse gambling on those apps, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of action, but you know, it's addictive.
Yeah.
And I wish I paced myself to get to one of these big races, so I could wear like a hot toddy or whatever, and like you know, wear a big hat. People always go to the Kentucky Derby and wear big hats.
Oh yeah.
And so it's a big social event. You know, it's very hat centric and suit centric, and they have these cocktails. But apparently, a lot of horses can die there, which is surprising. This article in the New York Times is claiming that last year. Let's scroll down a little bit. I want to make sure I get my facts straight. Kentucky Derby has been run through 2 world wars, the Great Depression, civil rights unrest. I mean, that's. And most recently, a life-paralyzing pandemic. I mean, they didn't stop the Kentucky Derby because of the Selma March. I was like, well, that seems like that's something to brag about. Hey, we kept this going during the race riots.
It's been run through 2 world wars, the Great Depression, that troublemaking Martin Luther King Jr.
Dred Scott. Who is Nat Turner?
John Brown.
The John Brown Rebellion. We didn't stop it for nothing. Slave revolts. We didn't give it. We just kept raising these horses. Good for you guys. Now, on the 150th anniversary of America's most famous race, the Sport of Kings faces another formidable foe, itself. Oh. Last year, beneath Churchill Downs' iconic twin spires, 7 horses died, which seems like a lot. So yeah, during the week of the showpiece event. I was about to play devil's advocate, but yeah, 7 horses died during the week of the showpiece event. 2 of them in races in the hours leading up to the Derby. That's the thing. There's all these races, right? Hmm. You think the Kentucky Derby is one thing. They race at like 4 p.m. And you go, why are they racing? But there's like hundreds of races that week, probably, I'm assuming. There's races every day and then 10 times a day. They race all the time. There's all these different groups. There's too many, really. It shouldn't be that fun for the gamblers.
Sure.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's so, I can't tell you enough how much just the rush I got. it was just like, I knew nothing about them, these horses.
Yeah.
Their names. A few stats they give you. You know, they give you these stats on the website. You go, well, I guess that looks like a bigger number than that one. This one's 3/5 to win. And, you know, it's like the one. Because the thing, you bet the best one, you get a lot less money if they win, right? Because, but also, the winner only wins half the time. The number one horse only wins half the time, or something like that. So you can't even be conservative, right?
Right.
It's not like betting the super. You know, the Patriots when they were good. And, like, you know, to win the Super Bowl, I'm like, you're probably going to win. No.
Yeah, I mean, it's not intuitive, but it's like the victory is so much sweeter when it's just random.
But I knew guys who would, like, they have all these things they do. these exacture things. You pick these three boxes and these two. When you put two horses here, there's all sorts of weird math.
True.
All of a sudden, guys who are like, you know, gravediggers are like, you know, are literally like, you know, John Nash from A Beautiful Mind.
But are they, are their machinations actually helping them, or is that just like the kind of, or is that the, just the delusion of addiction?
They told me they did.
Yeah.
I don't, I didn't see their bank accounts. They they said, you know, these are guys who claimed, who I worked with in blue collar, you know, jobs, who told me how they made, they were consistently profitable. But, you know, they're working with me. So how good? I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what, it seems suspicious. It seems like, but who am I to say? I'm a bum, but it's so fun. It's the point. It's so much. It's just so the rush you get because the horses just are running right, and you get you pick this horse, and it's like it's ahead. If it's leading in the beginning, it's probably not going to win.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. The swings that happen are insane. You bet some horses, didn't you?
I did. I think I may have gotten you into it.
Yeah, you did. Why are you being so silent then?
Yeah. Well, I because I went to the years ago. I went to the Saratoga racetrack and I bet on the second to win.
Yeah.
Because I like the name of the horse.
Right.
And it won.
What was the name of the horse?
Escape from Reality. And it was.
Queen song.
Yeah. And. Oh, you know what? I don't think I even made that connection.
Oh, really?
I know that song, but I didn't make that connection. I was just like, oh, it's Escape from Reality. This is whimsical.
Oh, okay.
But that probably was what it was about.
It's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
It's probably the year the movie came out.
But yeah, so I was like, maybe I'll just like get on the app and bet on a couple of races just the way I did it last time and just bet on the name.
Yeah.
And I think it worked once and then swiftly stopped working.
Yeah, no, it's too good, but that's what drives this horse death enterprise. And I don't want to slander the Kentucky Derby, but according to the New York Times, a lot of horses are dying.
Mm.
At least last year. Is it happening this week? Well, no, I guess next year when they publish an article next year. Everything with the New York Times apparently is a year behind.
Yeah, but is there like a it? In the days after, five more sustained fatal injuries. Are they saying like? Did they say how? Like,
well, let's go. Well, let's go through it. Let's not accuse them of journalistic malpractice just yet. It got worse. Let's go. We didn't really even get to that. Go back up. Last year, beneath Churchill, two of them in races in the hours leading up to the Derby. In the days after, five more sustained. You did read this. I'm sorry. Prompting Churchill officials to move their races to another Kentucky racetrack.
So they think the problem was the racetrack.
I mean. We forgot we left a bunch of rat poison on the racetrack. We had a lot of rats because the locals got really into like, you know, eating horse shit because of this web post they found and whatever. They just kept leaving it around. Rats, you know, rat poison. I don't know. The horses are dead. It got worse. A colt trained by the sport's most recognized and controversial trainer, Bob Baffert. It's a strange way to put it. The sport's greatest or most successful, most recognized. What does that mean exactly? Because often, like, when you recognize someone, it's like with an award, or they just mean like the most notorious. You know.
I wonder why he's controversial.
Because he kills horses. He just kills them. He has a thing where he just motivates the horse. Like, if you don't win, I'll kill you. If you don't win, I'll shoot you in the fucking head. You piece of fucking. You think I won't kill a horse? I'm Bob Baffert. He died at Pimlico Racecourse hours. Wait, hold on. A colt trained by the sport's most recognized and controversial trainer, Bob Baffert. The horse died. Died at Pimlico Racecourse hours before Mr. Baffert saddled the winner of the Preakness Stakes, the second leg of the Triple Crown. I don't understand that sentence.
Two more horses not trained by Mr. Baffert died in races surrounding the Belmont Stakes, the third leg in June.
Wait, hold on. Why are we bringing down Bob Baffert here? A horse trained by Baffert died at Pimlico Racecourse. And then he did good with the horse. And then two more horses not trained. So why are we acting like... I guess they're saying that this guy's a this is a very confusing arc. I think I got it.
Yeah.
So basically, I think what they were trying to do is go, hey, look, this guy, it's not just like shitty horses. This guy is like one of the most recognized guys. And his horse died.
Right.
And two other ones that weren't his died too. But like his horse died. But he's also the most controversial. So what does that mean? We don't know why he's controversial.
I just looked it up. And it's, the controversy is basically that his horses have been linked to at least 30 failed drug tests in the last four decades. So
right.
So he's drugging them up.
Okay. I forgot. Look, because we did skim this article before. I just totally forgot. There's a whole. So I mean, if you scroll down, they're gonna plug their documentary and then say a lot of this is blood doping.
Mm.
Which is interesting. I didn't know horses could blood dope.
Yeah, I wonder how they do that.
I guess they just shoot them up with
just feed them pills,
EpiPens, pills. What pills do you think?
Adderall.
Honestly, when you first said pills, I thought you meant like they were giving them oxys because it's dope. But the fact that you went to that's actually very fascinating. What would happen if we just gave horses a bunch of Adderall? Is that why there's an Adderall shortage in this country? We're just giving horses buckets of fucking Adderall. Oh man, that would be interesting. You think Adderall is not usually that good for like things like it's a quick race though. It could you wouldn't want to give it to LeBron James probably during a game,
right?
Because it's I think you kind of have these fall offs and like it probably cramp up. But for a quick race, give the horse maybe 10 tabs of Adderall.
Mm.
Just take it from your kid, and like that's actually that could be very maybe we should we might have to. I always say this. But we might have to remove this episode or this part because I don't want people stealing our idea. Because next year we might be in the Kentucky Preakness. So let's see what's going on.
At the historic Saratoga race course in New York, 13 horses died while racing and training at the sport's signature summer meet, including two who seemed poised to win their races before breaking down near the finish line on nationally televised broadcasts.
I didn't hear about
this. I hope one of them wasn't Escape from Reality.
Oh, Escape from Reality. He's already jerky and glue.
Yeah.
You think, did he win?
Yeah, he won.
Okay. What was that, 5 years ago? How long did you think
this? More than that, probably.
How long do you think this game goes on for? you think this horse is like Nolan Ryan? Like, you think he's like Cal Ripken Jr.?
Oh.
Just freaking playing for 30 years? Yeah, he's been dead for, they shoot them. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's I don't know why. I mean, I guess he might be studded. If Escape from Reality was like a consistent winner,
yeah,
they might have put him on a farm and let him just bang horses all day for $100,000 a pop. Not bad. Not bad life.
It's not a bad life. Yeah,
you just eat all the manure you want, bang other horses. Wish I was a horse. Love to bang. If I was a horse, I mean, it just seems like a fun. It seems like you do your job and then you get the reward. Horses are the only thing that like makes sense in this world.
Mm.
You don't win, you don't get to go to heaven. That's just heaven for them. They just eat Adderall and bang horses for money. But you gotta win first. Mm. You gotta be a winner. Rich kids are the problem. They muddy the waters. Let's scroll down a bit. Let's see. Let's get to the bottom of this. Enough speculation, spurious speculation. Over the past 12 months, the New York Times analyzed confidential documents and covert recordings made by law enforcement and obtained exclusive interviews as part of an investigation into why so many horses, supposedly in pink physical condition, were breaking down so frequently. In the documentary, the New York Times presents Broken Horses. Now streaming on Hulu. The Times found that's Broken Horses. Go to hell, New York Times. The Times found that reckless breeding and doping practices compromised veterinarians and trainers, and decades-long resistance to changes that could save horse lives have placed a multi-billion-dollar ecosystem in peril and put the social acceptability of one of America's oldest sports at risk.
And lost us a fuck ton of money. they did this old documentary because some New York Times journalist lost his life savings at the racetrack.
I mean,
when his horse died at the finish line.
I bet, I don't know a lot of journalists, but I bet a lot of them lose big horse gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like because they think it's more noble.
They're seedy people.
Yeah, they think it's not. They think it's that you get into it because of the hot toddies and the Pimm's cups. You know, all these cocktails and the hats.
Right.
But then you start betting and give that horse a lateral.
You're like, I'm an intelligent person. I know when to stop.
I mean, you start writing articles, just give horses lateral. It's fine. Give it especially escape from reality. Oh, man. So, I don't know. Is there a triple crown in play? No, I guess they'd be talking about that, right? I can't think of a way to care about this, like that particularly. It doesn't seem like that big a deal.
It doesn't seem like the highest stakes thing in the world, right? Unless you care about horses, which, you know.
It seems like, you know, should. What's, I mean, is this more or less important than kids being dragged off college campuses for protesting a war?
I don't know. I do like horses.
Right. So everyone, we're moving on because I just can't. I just realize it's horses and I don't care. Let's talk. So what's going on with these kids? We were talking about it last week a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they're at Columbia, they're at USC. There's these encampments, right? They're protesting, and then this week they all went in. These NYPDs, the LAPD, I think, respectively, and they stormed in. And they took back these college campuses. What say you?
It definitely seems like, look, it definitely seems like, I don't think they would have done this if it was a cause that they were just like more ingratiated to.
Right.
And for that reason, it seems unfair. Like, it's like, they would have, like.
You think they would have let, if this was to stop giving horses Adderall. they would have just let that these protests go on indefinitely.
Possibly. I think that sometimes if the university can co-sign it somehow,
yeah,
if it can somehow like improve their reputation, like as a, you know, their social justice reputation, then they'll encourage the students and they'll do kind of what they can to cooperate with them. But when they're protesting the university itself for its entanglements,
right,
with a country that's like, you know, I think even generously speaking, committing war crimes, like it's like, you know, now it's
sure.
Now I mean, it's like, yeah. Oh, we're going to crack down on you.
Is this because
and also like this and also nonviolent protest methods are violent now. And like, you know, making noise is now like an act of aggression.
Well, I think look, to be fair, I think some of these kids might have been throwing eggs.
Well, look, they're throwing eggs.
I don't know if they're throwing eggs. I mean, I just said that as a for instance.
Yeah.
I think some of them are being like, you know, bullying sometimes.
Right.
I think in a group of that thing, here's the thing. I think you should be able to protest, especially war, but anything. And let these kids, you know, you should encourage it with these kids. Even though it's an Ivy League school and they're probably going to be, you know, these are the people who are going to be, you know, selling the weapon systems in a couple of years. Let them protest. It's better that they're on the side of the angels now than, you know, even though they're going to be, you know, Dr. Death in a year.
Yeah.
Am I being facetious there? I don't know. You think I'm being dismissive? I don't know. I didn't go to an Ivy League school. I didn't, you know, go to much of a, you know, the school I went to was not much, you know, not great.
Right.
And I didn't help the matter. So they wouldn't let me go to an Ivy League school. But I kind of feel like these kids are, that's not the point though. The point is, but you let anything fester for two, like you have, these things have to end at a certain point. You don't agree? I think you let any group of young kids, 18-year-old kids, get together. I mean, we had people coming over, our neighbor across the hall last night, and just have a house party or whatever, and just like dozens of kids keep coming. I had to go out and scream at them at one point and call them animals, and they were actually conciliatory. So when I saw how young they were. They were like 18 or whatever. And like, I shouldn't, I felt a little, not really that bad, but kind of bad.
You shouldn't feel bad,
right?
But you gave them an invaluable experience.
Yeah. But that being said, then I heard them whispering to each other later in the night. And like they learned, because you let these things fester.
Yeah.
And so if you just let these kids stay forever on the college campus, they're going to start throwing things and saying, this is my, remember the Chaz thing in Portland? I don't know if it was a school or not, but people make these little camps. They make their fortresses, the pillow fortresses. They go Apocalypse Now.
Right.
You're asking for trouble. Occupy Wall Street. This can't be forever. It just can't be forever.
Look, I do think part of protesting is sometimes getting arrested.
They should have arrested them sooner is your point.
It does seem a little... I'm not sure how the colleges now have any credibility in saying they support their students' free speech rights, because it's.
What did they even say that?
I think they often say that.
I've never heard that. I've always been kicked out of schools and told and been told that the things I'm saying are not allowed. and I never said anything that I thought was that bad, but they were very clear that they were not having it.
Right.
So. I must have gone to a different school than you. That being said, these schools are...
Wait, out of college? You got kicked out of college?
I was treated poorly by the administration of college, I feel like. I was not... I
didn't know that. I thought you just dropped out.
Mistreated? I went to different colleges at different times, and I floated through... I was a drifter.
Yeah.
Which is part of the problem. No one wants to admit it. The real story of America is Rambo First Blood. Because we like to talk about being a frontier country, a country of, go-getters and upstarts and travelers. And it's no one likes a transient person, though. Mm-hmm. And that's the moral of First Blood. If you're a transient person, there's going to some sheriff or some dean is just going to lock you up, kick you out. Treat you like, whatever.
Yeah.
You're being incredulous here, but,
Right. I think, look, you're a rebel. You're the kind of rebel people don't deal with often.
Sure.
You're very smart.
Evidence doesn't bore that out, but
you're probably threatening. Honestly, they're probably, I could see you kind of wounding a professor's ego.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. It was more just kind of trying
to paint a whole Goodwill Hunting thing.
No,
here,
but... I wasn't really wounding anyone's. It was more like kind of, you could tell they're just like, shut up. I remember asking asking some American history class if French, like some kind of French spies were responsible for the Great American Revolution. I was trying. I asked.
Okay, wait a minute. I might need to retract everything I just said.
Well, I was in a class about it was American diplomacy from 1740 to 1890 or some shit. And we're talking about, it just seemed to me, he kept stressing how, these guys were all lawyers and doctors. They were doing quite well. It was very odd that they did this revolution. It actually went against their, material...
Interests. Yeah.
And me, being the cynical person that I am, I feel like I was transmitting the idea that, I knew it was a little... I didn't have the vocabulary, perhaps. I was like... is there any indication anywhere, some kind of version of, maybe French, intelligence or whatever, maybe kind of getting these guys rabble-roused a little bit, and he's like, none. He didn't even consider, he's like, no. In a way, shut up, you idiot. No, of course not. Which I think to this day is, they probably did. It was great for them.
Look, it's not that I couldn't imagine it happening, but... It's also not the kind of thing that you just get to like kind of
so disgusted with
bemused.
Me.
Bemused, like it's just like
I asked.
It either happened. There's either evidence that it happened
look,
or there isn't.
But look, I mean, I'm not a PhD. I assume he's reading little parchments here and there when he was younger,
right?
To get his PhD, and maybe there was some weird cable, some weird Morse code little letter that someone found. And we don't quite know. This is not enough to put in the history books, but this is odd. This is a historical oddity. Maybe, you know, there were spies in the ancient world, right? You know, I mean, there were spies and things. People muckraked, you know? You're acting like spies were invented in like 1960.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. You should like maybe this could take off.
Maybe
this channel should become about how you know American universities are suppressing the truth about French spies before the American Revolution.
The point is, I was I was given no quarter, so I can't relate to these college Ivy League kids who are told that they're going to shape the world and then they create like a gun that shoots a horse from space or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I still think they should be allowed to protest for a while.
Right.
That's my takeaway. And maybe you're right. Maybe the cops should just get them quicker so they can get their little Instagram video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they don't care. They do care, probably. But it's just like, it actually hurts. I think it hurts the cause to do it forever. People, if it's just one big day, hey, like 100,000 kids protested, the cops hit them in the head. You're like, damn, that sounds bad. That's good for the kids. But if it's like weeks and you're watching people eat sushi and like, you know, and dance the Macarena, people turn.
I see where you're coming from. There is a kind of a thing now with protesting where people want protest to be this like really like, you know, organic improvisational thing almost.
Right. Yeah.
When really like the most effective protests are usually pretty like planned in advance,
right?
And they know
by French intelligence,
by French intelligence, and they know they're going to get arrested, and they have a plan for how they're going to behave when they get arrested,
right?
Like it's like you know, it's like
that scene in The Dark Knight.
But that's not fun.
The homeless guy got himself arrested, and he blew up the precinct,
yeah.
And then Joker got out.
Right,
it's great protest. you think the guy was at a protest first? He's protesting the Iraq War. Like, it's a deleted scene from The Dark Knight. No one understands me.
But yeah, like here, the problem is that's not a party.
Right.
No, nobody's getting fingered at the bridge of Bridget Selma.
Like,
people want to go to these protests and like hang out and like and you know get fingered in tents.
Yeah, a lot of fingering in your version of protest. I mean, you really just focus. Seems to be your main takeaway about protesting is a lot of fingering. It's just mostly getting fingered. I mean, I don't know if it's everyone's experience.
I'm just trying to think of a thing, of a sexual thing.
When you
thing
were in college, what was the big protest? Was it like Occupy Wall Street? You were just getting fingered the whole time.
Look, I was never a big, like, I never showed up for, like, days-long protest things. That wasn't my thing.
Right, you had to, hey, let's take this back to the dorm. I'll give you the five-finger discount. Why don't you occupy this street?
Also, I mean, you made a point. I forget when you went. I don't know if you made this on the podcast or not, but you made a great point that also the left tends to just protest too many things at once.
Sure.
You know, there's too many pet causes present.
Yeah, turtles.
You know, people never really look unified. Like it's
paper straws.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greta Thunberg's probably like just drifting around these protests. Hey, yeah. Don't forget, it's getting too hot.
And people will say, but like, you know, but all these issues are interconnected. And it's like, maybe they are, but people's brains just don't work that way.
Right.
Like, it's not, you know, they're not realistic about how people internalize things.
I think it'd be good if I went to some of these colleges, maybe. Like, I feel like this is wisdom that, like, they don't get from their, like, the people who wind up in the administration or the professors. Or just their parents don't. I have wisdom to give to young people. I don't just have to yell at them, you know, when they make noise. So maybe I don't know. Is there some kind of charity thing where I can go to these college camps and like just tell these kids that like you can eat horse manure? It's actually like not bad for you. It's like you know, as long as it's like you know, you can't see the turds. it should be fine. And and like, it's actually like, you know, and just don't let your dog, you know, kiss you for, you know, whatever that guy was saying.
You should do a version of the Kendall Jenner Pepsi can commercial. Right. Where it's an Israeli kid and a Muslim kid, and you're handing them both a what do they call it? A hot horse bun.
A hot horse bun, yeah.
And you're saying, don't eat this yet. Let it get cold.
Right. Yeah, well, that's a great point. And that's why maybe Greta Thunberg should, you know, she'll be like, well, it's getting hot. You know, look, this kid's got a point. Because of global warming, you know, you have to wait longer for the horse shit to cool down. Before you eat it, and then they will. I'll be like Herb Brooks. I'll unify these, you know, these great nations against me.
Yeah,
that's what we need. Israel and Gaza just need a third party. They need like a worse country,
like a country to fight together.
Yeah,
like, we gotta invent a religion.
That's
people.
How do we fix it? Hey, I love that your takeaway from the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is let's introduce a third religion.
Like a religion, you know, like a religion that is just really hateable.
Sure.
From both perspectives.
Careful. Can you be careful? I don't know if we should be fanning religious hate. I mean, I get what you're saying, but maybe we'll just.
This honestly would be a good opportunity to use the power of AI, because you know we could create a religion that everybody hates.
Yeah.
But that it's not like, but there's no actual people attached to it. They're just AI generated followers of the religion. But then they'd end up probably accusing people of being part of the religion when they're not.
I don't know why it might not work. I spent the last hour trying to convince people to eat horse shit, and you think that's not good enough? why can't this be it? Why does this be a religion? I have to make some horse Jesus and go, hey, eat this. He takes it out of his head, and, he shits in his own hand. He goes, hey, eat this.
Yeah,
it's me. I mean, we can do it. How did the Bible got written in the first place? Kind of like that.
Like, what about, like, what was the deal with Zoroastrianism?
Something about birds?
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe we could convince them that the Zoroastrians
are coming back.
Are coming back, well, and they want to take the Dome of the Rock or something.
Well, let's cap off with this. Can we look up, let's go, you know, get a Wikipedia going. Zoro, you know how to spell it, right? If people who might not be aware, Zoroastrianism was at one point in ancient history the most common religion. And you might know it from that picture of a bird man, right? Birdman?
That's the Birdman religion?
I think so. I mean, I don't wanna, like, I mean, slander religions here, but also known as Mazda? Oh, is that where the Mazda car comes from? Mazda, Yasna, and Bedin is an Iranian religion. Well, already that's like, you know, they have bad PR problems, the Iranians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is one of the world's oldest organized faiths. It is based on the teachings of the Avesta and the Iranian prophet Zoroaster. Zoroastrians exalt an uncreated and benevolent deity of wisdom, commonly referred to as Ahura Mazda. All right. Who is personified as a destructive spirit and the adversarial. Wait. Commonly referred to as, Zoroastrians exalt an uncreated and benevolent deity of, this is very complicated for a religion.
Yeah.
They exalt an uncreated and benevolent deity of wisdom. I thought he meant it didn't exist yet. He's just, I think they mean, this is Wikipedia. When did Wikipedia get so, like, you know, egg-heady? Yeah. Now I understand the farmers who hate me. Because, like, what did you say, like, you know, omnipotent? What happened to omnipotent? Uncreated. What is this nonsense?
Right, yeah,
no one created me. Yeah, you're omnipotent. We get it.
Yeah, I'm mortal.
What do you think, like, an omnipotent being is invented by Bob? it speaks for itself. omnipotent, benevolent deity of wisdom, commonly referred to as Ahura Mazda, as the universe's supreme being. opposed to a Harum. Okay, so the Angramaniu is the destructive spirit. So you got a good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah, sort of like Shiva and what was the other one? Vishnu?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've heard those names. I don't know which one's who. I'm not going to pretend to.
I'm not open. Sure who the creator is. I know Shiva's the one that destroys.
Let's stick to this.
Yeah.
Opinions vary among scholars.
We got to open up another Wikipedia tab.
Opinions vary among scholars of whether Zoroaster is monotheistic, polytheistic,
henotheistic.
It doesn't seem like the... I mean, maybe we should just invent one. Just call them snakes.
Yeah, the silver snakes.
Yeah, sure.
We wanted the silver snakes.
You like the alliteration?
I like it. I feel like the snakes.
The sloppy snakes.
Sloppy snake. The sloppy snakes are coming for the.
But that's not menacing. How about you call it the snakes? I think you got, you know, it's not like pretty Pepsi. It's just Pepsi. This is branding, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know. It's not like awesome Apple computers. It's Apple. Snakes. Just call it snake.
All right, fine.
Just call it snake even.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're one of the snakes? I'm one of the snake. So it's like, you don't even do the plural.
Okay.
And you go, and what do the snakes do? And like, yeah, you know, so what do they do?
The snake, you know, they...
Just eat their own shit.
They eat their own shit and they think, you know, and they hate God.
We need something.
And they have a god.
We need something more. We need something more. We need to make these videos of some guy in a snake costume telling kids to eat horseshit.
Well, how about what if a big tenet of their religion is like you know, just gross, just being kind of like gross and grossly sexual. That's always something that turns people against.
Well, having like a lot of chest hair. What do you mean?
You know, just like.
What do you mean? Like they operate the bang bus?
Like maybe they wear something that like shows their, that like obscures their penis but shows their balls. And it's like a religious garb, so you can't tell them not to wear it. That would
drive people nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People would hate that.
Sure. And they play really the Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
Right. They play it constantly. Crash into me.
Yeah. No, honestly, I already hate these people.
Yeah. And they're, what's their like big, we need one more thing they do. Everything's three things. What do they eat?
They have like a ritual, like five, like six times a day. Where they have to just like kind of spit into their own hand and then eat it again.
He's describing some kid you went to grade school with. All right, so is, I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if it's gonna cut it. If it's gonna stop the 75-year conflict that's been going on. Is that what we're dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Is this called the Intifada?
You know, it's definitely not going to stop the conflict.
What?
That kind of negativity.
All right. They spit into their hand. I think they need to be doing something worse. It can't be spitting in their hand. It has to be like... They're always making cheese.
They have a cheese?
The dancing.
Mm.
It's harder than it looks.
Yeah. No, they need some kind of obnoxious food.
Maybe it's like a pita, but like it's just fucking like mustard in the pita.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like whole wheat pita bread with mustard.
Yeah.
That's the sandwich. This is a lot of mustard. And they're also just terrible rapists. They rape everyone they see. I don't know.
I think this is a good start.
Yeah.
Start. If you have a, you know, if any of you have suggestions for the snake,
look,
throw them out there.
I just want to see my daughter again.
Yeah.
Just like and subscribe, will you? This has been a just Patreon extra episodes.
Mm-hmm. They're great.
$5 a month. You can be part of this. Anything to add?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And
appreciate you being here.
And we if you love don't, you.
Yeah, no, yeah, just whatever. Just enjoy yourself. We'll see you next week.